Time in this part of the lesson looking at that, but you see the word elders in verse 1? The Greek word there is presbyters, or presbyteros is the Greek word. You see the word shepherd there in verse 2? That's the word pastor. It's the verb form of the word pastor, which is the noun. You see the word overseers in verse 2? All of this passage has to do with the matter of eldership. You look down at verse 3 and it talks about elders not being lords, but those have been entrusted to them, and elders ought to be examples to the flock. And verse 5 says that those who are younger, those who are not elders, need to submit to those who are the elders. And so that's sort of the gist of the lesson, but we'll get back to this a little bit later in the lesson. You got your Bible? Look at Ephesians chapter 3. In Ephesians chapter 3, we see an introduction of the eternal plan of God. Grab that pew Bible if you don't have your own. Ephesians chapter 3 looks at the eternal plan of God. And so you look in chapter 3 and verse 11, and you read there about that eternal purpose which He purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord. Are you aware God, before the world began, had it all figured out? Before sin ever entered into the world, God had that eternal purpose. And so the statement talks about these things that have happened according to that eternal purpose. And how thankful we ought to be that we have an understanding of that which was the mystery of God, because nobody would be able to understand it. There was this mystery. Look back in verse 3 and verse 4 and verse 5. Where Paul in verse 3 talks about this, that God had planned. He had not revealed to anybody. It was mysterious. Nobody could figure out what was going on. And so Paul says in verse 3 that by revelation God made known this mystery to me. And I've written it down in few words so that when you read it, you may understand my knowledge of the mystery of Christ. Here is that plan that God had that He did not reveal. For, you know, He only revealed it gradually. It was gradually unfolded, piece by piece, time after time. And you and I have an appreciation of it, and we are a part of that. Now, here's that plan. That plan, the eternal plan of God, was to have one body called the church, in which all mankind, Jews and Gentiles, would have access to God. Look especially there at verse 6 that says that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs of the same body and partakers of His promise in Christ through the gospel. That's an amazing concept. And it is an amazing glorification of the church. Whenever we come to church, whenever we drive by and we see a building that says, you know, the Palm Beach Lakes Church of Christ, it's easy for us not to have an appreciation of just how far-reaching that concept is. Because in the mind of God, before sin ever entered into the world, God had in mind the fact that He would someday build the church, that He would establish the church, and that in that body, in that church, all mankind would have access to God. Now, it's easy for us, because we are acquainted with that, to lose sight of what an unbelievable blessing we have in that we are a part of that body, and that we are part of that which goes out and does all it can to cause men to come into that body. But that plan that was given by God was revealed gradually, and we today in this lesson want to look at just one facet of that plan. To look at one part of that plan that is so vital in order that the plan of God might be carried out. And that has to do with the leadership in the church. Pardon me. I want us on this lesson to talk about the matter of the eldership inside the church. Because you see, God had that in mind from the very beginning. You do not just read of elders when you get to the New Testament. In the Old Testament, there were those elders of the city that had the responsibility to see that things in that city function properly. And you read of them again and again. Keep that in mind as you study that. And so the Lord had people having an understanding of what an elder was. It was not just a brand new ecclesiastical word that God said, okay, I have a new concept. Hello, here's a brand new word, never been uttered before. It was a word used commonly. And so you'd have the word shepherd. They understood the word shepherd. And so when God talks about the eldership and uses the word shepherd to refer to them, God had been preparing for hundreds of years so that whenever the church began and he began to describe those individuals in the church, they already understood what shepherds were. Now, we don't understand that in America. We know a whole lot more about cowboys than we do about shepherds. But people over there in biblical times really understood the concept of those who were shepherds. And so God was working throughout all of this time. And then when the church began, God began the church, and at first, the church did not have elders. In fact, because one of the qualifications of a man being an elder in the church, to be an overseer, pastor in the church is, he cannot be a new convert. It's impossible for a church to have elders in its very beginning. But those churches that began without elders, then the Holy Spirit began to reveal God's plan. And so when you read in Acts chapter 20, verse 28, that Paul says that God had made those elders there to be overseers of the church, that the way Paul describes that is, you've been made overseers by the Holy Spirit of God. That Spirit of God that moved upon the face of the waters and saw the need of the creation of God. And that Spirit of God that brought about the establishment of the Old Testament religion and the revelation of God's will throughout all of the Old Testament. That Spirit of God, through the revelation of the New Testament, brought about the fact that there were elders. And so Paul would say, the Holy Spirit has made you to be elders. It's not something, some idea some man's thought up. Hey, here'd be a good way to run the church. Let's find some men and make them to be elders. Oh no, the idea of elders in the church is a part of the fact that the Holy Spirit has revealed those need for elders. Now in Acts chapter 14, we read, they ordain elders in every church. Paul had been on that first missionary journey, and as he returned, Acts chapter 14, verse 23, he comes back to Lystra and to Derbe and to Antioch and to Iconium. He goes back to all of these places, and he ordains elders in every church. Why? Because that was something that God had in mind but from the very creation. And so when the Lord established the church, the Lord intended for there to be elders inside that church. In Titus chapter 1, we read of the fact that the church in Crete did not have elders. And so Paul says in Titus chapter 1 verse 5 that he had left Titus in that place and that island that he might set in order the things that are wanting, the things that are lacking in that church. And so here was a church fully developed. But they had not yet appointed elders. And Paul looked at the situation there in Crete and he says, Titus, you stay here and you ensure that this church, the churches in this land, have elders. Ordain elders in every church, because a church without elders is a church that is lacking. It's not according to the plan of God. But we also ought to recognize that a church that does not have spiritually minded elders is lacking. Sometimes people will say, well, I think it's about time we appointed elders. There would not be men who are qualified, but let's go ahead and appoint them. Or it may be that a man's been appointed an elder and he ceases to be a spiritual man like he once was. And all of a sudden, there is a church that has elders, at least those who are called elders, who are not spiritually minded. And so as we think about the church and about the way the Lord wants the church to be and the way the Lord wants the church at Palm Beach Lakes to be, it's to be a church that has elders, that has those who are spiritually minded leading that. And so we need to understand that throughout the years, there have been several elderships here at Palm Beach Lakes. I'm not sure exactly the year the first eldership was appointed. But Gene McMasters, and I'm not sure if Gene is here today, normally sits back over in this area, was one of the first elders in this church when elders were appointed. And over a period of time, there have been those who were elders, those who resigned from being elders, and those individuals who by death were removed from the eldership. There have been many elderships over all of these years. And we ought to thank God for the fact that this church has been characterized by elders who really have an appreciation of things that are right and good and have the right view of the lost world and the fact that we need to get out and to save the world and to bring the gospel to every creature. It's amazing, if you'll stop and think about it, that every eldership is different. Whenever those five men who were elders back in the very beginning, there were those five men who were appointed elders. None of those men are elders. There's another group of elders that are right now. And every time you appoint a new elder, or every time an elder resigns, or an elder moves away, or an elder dies, it's a brand new eldership. In fact, I read this expression somewhere, that whenever there's a new elder appointed or an elder removed, there needs to be the death of an eldership. And the whole concept is for us not to think, well, this eldership made this decision back there, therefore it ought to be a good decision for us. I'm not talking about doctrine. I'm just talking about the way the church functions. And we need to understand that the very nature of the church and the composition of the church and the scope of the church and many aspects of the work changes. And so from one eldership to another, there's a difference in the eldership. You know, when I came here to some 29 years ago, only two of the men who are now elders were elders then. You know how many different elderships I've served under? If I started mentioning the names of all of those who were here and not here, I'd leave some of them out. But as every eldership is different, it's a different composition. And we need to have an appreciation that whenever there's a new individual that is appointed to be an elder, he brings a new attitude into the eldership. And by its very nature, changes that eldership. It's just like whenever in any aspect of life there are changes, then there's a change in the end result. Let's talk a little bit about this eldership and talk about it as the greatest work on earth. And I'm not talking about the eldership at Palm Beach Lakes. I'm talking about the work of being an elder, the greatest work on earth. I want us today to talk about the importance of it, the honor that is due those who are involved in this work, and then the seriousness of the eldership. Think about the importance of the work. We've already pointed out that there were specific plans made by God. The very fact that before sin ever entered into the world, God had in mind the church shows that God planned for the church to exist and work throughout all of that time so that when the church did begin, people would have an understanding of it. Doesn't that say something about the importance of it? You know, if you're going to buy something new, you'll sit down and talk about it. But if you're going to buy bubble gum or something like chewing gum, you'll just wait just at the spur of the moment. You'll go and take. But when it came to the matter of the church, from all eternity, God planned that there would be elders. And that talks about the importance of it. You want to understand the importance of it? Then look at 1 Timothy chapter 3, where you see that this special plan has men who are to be qualified to be elders. There are characteristics of them. There are those attributes that are a part of their very character. And when you look at that list of those individuals and the qualifications that are there, you see that they are spiritual in nature. And that in and of itself talks about the importance of it. If you're just going to appoint an individual to come and, to mow your lawn or something like that, want to pay somebody to wash your car, you're not overly concerned about their character. But not so when it comes to the kingdom of God. And so the Lord laid down the characteristic of those individuals. And in years past, when we've appointed elders and the elders have asked for lessons to be presented, And there've been, when there's been feedback from this church about we think that these men are qualified to be elders in this church. You remember the little fold-over sheet that we've used several times. We made that available so that individual could look at that and read about all of these characteristics of that individual and have an understanding of everything that's involved in that. Why? Because it's important for us to have the right kind of individuals to be elders. They need to be those who are spiritually qualified. And then the work that elders do is spiritual in nature, but it is a specialized kind of work. And you and I need to have an understanding of the fact that there's a special description of the works that they do. And the summation of those works is found in the words BPOPs. You'll understand that a little bit later. By the way, this is a mnemonic that I use to remember something, and you'll see it in just a minute. But elders must have children, and therefore, for a man to be an elder, he must be a pop. But I want us to use that in just a minute. You'll have better understanding of it in just a moment. Let's take that word and look at it. There are three Greek words used to describe elders, and every one of them talks about a description of them and what they are and what they do. There are six English words. I have no idea why the translators, when they only had three Greek words, chose to take six English words to describe them. But they did. And therefore, let's look at each one of these three Greek words. In the first place, elders are described in the Bible as elders and presbyters. I find it remarkable that it's only in the King James Bible that the word presbyter is found anymore. You start looking at other translations, for example, the New King James, the word presbytery is not there, it's the word eldership. So here is this Greek word that describes these men who are elders in the church. What does it indicate? It does not, in and of itself, indicate that they are advanced in years. Sometimes we make a mistake of thinking, well, that an individual ought to be, you know, 60 years of age before you can be an elder in the church. Well, think about life expectancy in the first century. Wonder what age those men were that were made elders at that time. I mentioned a moment ago about Joe and Johnny. They were both 39 years of age whenever they were made to be elders in this church. And so whenever we begin thinking about it, we need not to think just about those who are anciently old like the preacher, but we need to think about those who are spiritually mature. And so whenever there were those individuals who were appointed elders in the church, they were appointed that not because merely because of a maturity of years, but a maturity of the spiritual side of their life. No wonder God chose this word to describe those who take care of the church of God. Those who are spiritually mature. Look again and then understand that there's a second Greek word. And that word is translated by the words bishops and overseers. We probably have a better understanding of the definition of overseer than we do of the word bishop, because of the misuse of that word bishop in an ecclesiastical kind of setting. You know, you think about the way this is used in the religious world. There are bishops, and then there are archbishops, and then there are those who are above the archbishops, and you think of a hierarchy within the church. And the Bible never had that concept whenever this word episcopos was used. It literally means to oversee. If you look at the Greek word, you see the epi in the first part of that Greek word. That means the over part of it. The scopes, we get the word telescope or microscope from it. All they've done is to take the Greek word and brought it over into English. We know what elders are. We know what bishops are. They are those men who oversee. But it's not in the sense of being in a hierarchical situation. For the Bible absolutely forbids elders from being lords over God's heritage. That's the passage we used in the beginning. 1 Peter chapter 5 says, neither is being lords over God's heritage. God never, ever intended for there to be a board of men who were set up who lorded it over the flock without any consideration of the flock and its needs and whoever in there tried to have their own way in relationship to matters. They are servants of the church appointed by the Holy Spirit of God, given the God-given responsibility of making decisions that are best for the church. And so they are simply overseers. In fact, the word authority that is used in reference to those who are kings and those who are governors, that word spiritually is used in the Bible to refer only to Jesus. When Matthew chapter 28, he says, all authority has been given unto me in heaven and in earth. And so whenever the Bible talks about elders being elders, it talks about they're not to be lords over God's heritage, but they are to be examples to the flocks. We need to have an appreciation of the fact that elders do not have ecclesiastical authority. They are not lords over the church, but they are those who have a God-given responsibility to hide their own will and put the will of Christ and the needs of the church in the very forefront of the decisions that they make and the words that they and the work that they do. The other two words, English words, the word pastor and shepherd. People in the religious world have taken the word pastor and applied it to the preacher, but that's not the way it was in biblical times. I'm not a pastor of the church. I'm an evangelist. I'm a minister of Jesus Christ. I'm a preacher of the gospel. But in no sense am I a pastor of the church, for that is a word that is given, and it is the noun form of the word shepherd the flock of God which is among you, the verb form of it. We understand what a shepherd is. Our problem is sometimes we fail to see that there's a difference in cowboys and shepherds. Cowboys are those who get on their horses and ride on the perimeter and with a whip drive the cattle and hogtie them and brand them and do all of that type of thing. The Lord never ever used the word cowboy to refer to those who are overseers in the church. You know what he talked? The shepherd. And he describes that shepherd as that individual who lays down his life for the sheep. You and I need to have an understanding that whenever we think about that individual who is the shepherd, we need to think of Psalms 23, of that shepherd who is out in the midst of the sheep, and he leads them, and they, John chapter 10, he knows the sheep by name. He's out there among the sheep, and they follow him because he can call them by their name, and they know him, and they trust him. And so he leads me in the paths of righteousness. Not he drives me in the paths of righteousness, but there he is leading me in the ways of righteousness. And he is that individual who has been appointed by God to take care of the sheep. Now, if you'll look at the screen and look at all of the letters that are highlighted in the yellow, the E and the P and the B and the O and the P and the S, in the words, elders, presbyters, bishops, overseers, pastors, and shepherds, and you bring all of those letters down and rearrange them, you'll see why I use the word BPOPs to help me remember what elders are. They are bishops. They are elders. They're presbyters. They're overseers. They're pastors. And they're shepherds. And whenever the church thinks about the matter of elders and about those who are elders in the church and those who would be in elders, we need to have an appreciation of the fact that this is the work and this is the description that God used to describe and say, here are spiritually mature men who do not lord it over the God's flock, but who oversee it, who lead the flock of God, who are responsible for the flock of God, and they lay down their lives for the sheep, for they live among those sheep and they know them by name. Get back to the other aspect of this, the greatest work on earth. And we need to understand that there is a specific measuring rod whenever an elder is being selected. In 1 Timothy chapter 3, the Bible talks about the fact that you can do an area of judgment about whether a man ought to be an elder or not can be seen in his own house. Whenever he says in 1 Timothy chapter 3 verse 4, one who rules his own house well, having his children in submission with all reverence. For if a man does not know how to rule his own house, how shall he take care of the church of God? And so the first flock that an elder has is his own family. You look at that individual and see what kind of relationship he has with his children and whether he lords it over his children. You look at that individual and see what attitude he has toward his wife, whether he lords it over his wife, whether he's really in the forefront of that family, trying to lead that family in a spiritual direction. And the Bible says, now, look at that's the kind of man we need to have who are taking care of the church of God. And I see the word rule here, and I see the word submission, and I see the word take care. And I understand that elders have authority. I'm not trying to minimize that. But the kind of authority that they have is the God-given authority, not exousia kind of authority, but the kind of authority that a shepherd has. Look again at the honor that is due those who are elders and the eldership. There is that honor of that work. First of all, as we've already pointed out, because the Holy Spirit makes them elders. Secondly, the Bible talks about in 1 Timothy chapter 5 that elders who rule well are to be counted worthy of double honor. You stop and think about the elders that rule well, let them be counted worthy of double honor. What if an elder doesn't rule well? The implication is because he is an elder, he still deserves respect because God has worked to appoint that man in that position. Elders that rule well are worthy of double honor, but though even those who are not everything they ought to be still need to be honored because they are a part of God's eternal purpose. And that's why the Bible talks about us in relationship to elders. Against an elder receive not an accusation except at the mouth of two or three witnesses. You and I need to have an appreciation that because elders are in the forefront, oftentimes they're criticized. But you ought never to accept an argument against an elder just because, well, let me tell you something I know about the elders. The Bible says there must be two or three witnesses. You and I need to have an appreciation that God, in that respect, tried to protect those individuals who are elders. And then we need to have an appreciation that sin is involved whenever we disobey elders. Hebrews chapter 13 in two places. In chapter 13 in verse 7 and also in verse 17. Talks about the fact that we need to obey them that have the rule over us. For they watch for our souls as though that must give an account. You and I need to have an appreciation that it is the plan of God for decisions to be made in the church, and it's not by popular vote, it's not a democracy, it's not a pastoral thing where one man makes all of the decisions about the destiny of the church. God appointed a group of individuals called an eldership, and they are responsible, and the Bible says that we need to obey them that have the rule over us. Let us also point out the fact, just in passing, that sometimes we mistake the words of one elder for the words of an eldership. We ought never to do that. I appreciate so much when I've been in meetings with these elders whenever they'd say, somebody asked me a question, and even though I knew the answer, I didn't give the answer. I want to make sure that this is the answer that's coming from the eldership. They were asking what needs to be done in this particular matter. And only once in my life have I ever had to say to an elder, well, now, you're telling me to do this. Is this an elder's opinion or is this an eldership's opinion? Because none of us is subject to a single elder. Every one of us is subject to the eldership itself. And the Bible says we cannot live in rebellion against the eldership. Obey them that have the rule over you, and submit yourself to them, for they watch for your souls. And having said that, they watch for your souls shows the seriousness of the work that is involved in this matter of the eldership. We need to have an appreciation that in Acts chapter 6, we come to a realization that as important as widows are in the church, that the work of those who are in the leadership position, that their work is more important than the caring for widows. When the Lord established the church, before there ever were elders in the church, He said to the apostles, "You feed my sheep." They were the first shepherds in the church. And so when you get to Acts chapter 6, here are these apostles, these individuals who are shepherds in the church, and they are those individuals. And when the problem comes up about the Grecian widows, the apostles who are the shepherds of that church come and say to the church, "Look, our work is too important for us to get involved in the matter of serving these tables. Here's a great work for the church that needs to be done, and it's an important work, and think about the importance God places on the taking care of widows. But here are the apostles, the shepherds of that church at that time, who said, we cannot afford to get involved in the serving of these tables." The word tables there, by the way, is the same word used in reference to the money changers' tables. That when Jesus turned over the tables in the temple, it was the word tables used there is the very word that's used here in Acts chapter 6. These apostles says we cannot get involved in getting out of here and serving, you know, putting plates on the table, nor can we get involved in dealing with this day-to-day aspect of that, because we have a work that is so much more important than these mundane things. And that is, we must be involved in relationship to those who are His children, those who are His sheep. Elders need to understand, and we need to have an appreciation, that elders become the role model within the church. The Bible says, again in Hebrews chapter 13, that says, "Remember those who rule over you who have spoken the word of the God to you, whose faith imitate." Mimic is the Greek word there. And so the seriousness of this work is such that we ought to be able to look at those who are elders and walk in their footprints and say, "That's the kind of person I want to be. That's the kind of spiritual-minded individual that I want to be. I want to be like them." Think of how serious it is. Think of how serious it is for those who are elders in the church to say to the flock, "Now you can be like me, for I am like Jesus." It's not a matter of arrogance, but it is a matter of responsibility. Whose faith imitate? And so those who are elders in the church need to understand that they need to be exemplary in the church. They need to be in the forefront of the things that are happening within the church. That whenever there are activities that are in the church, they need to be there leading those activities. Whenever there are work days, whenever there are all of these activities of the church, we need to find the elders there. Why? Because we want to mimic their faith. It's not that elders go back and say, "Well, I want to tell you what I think the church ought to do." Elders need to say to the church, "Follow me, and we'll be the very church of Jesus Christ." What an unbelievable seriousness there is involved in being an eldership. Let me see if I can illustrate it this way. We understand that they deal with the eternal souls. That's why their work is more important than that of widows. And that as we mimic their faith, that our souls are hanging in the balance because they are showing us the way that we should live. Think of this. God says to those of us who are Christians, or He could say to those of us who are Christians, on the day of judgment, "You let my world go to hell." Think about that. Imagine standing before God on the day of judgment and God saying to the church, "The world was lost and you didn't tell anybody about it. You let my world go to hell." Think about that in relationship to elders. in relationship to shepherds, in relationship to the sheep, in relationship to the flock, and understand on the day of judgment, as God says to Christians, you let my world go to hell. God could say to elders, you lost my sheep. You let my sheep go to hell. Brethren, the work of being elders in the church is a sober, sober responsibility. I want to just make an appeal to every member here at Palm Beach Lakes. I want to ask that you thank these men who have been elders in this church. There are others who've been elders who sit in our midst this morning. Not just Gene McMasters, but there are others who are elders. There are elders' wives. Those men who were elders whose husbands are now deceased, who sit in our midst. We need to seek them out and to say to all of those who have been elders and those who are elders, thank God that you were willing to do that. It's a thankless job. Every decision that elders make, almost every decision that elders make, are the source of disagreement in the hearts and minds of some. We ought to thank our elders' wives today that they are there who are standing beside their husbands and allowing their husbands sometimes almost to neglect their wives just because of there's a special meeting that needs to be held. And how many times do you see elders' wives, especially before the days of two cars, how many times do you see the elders' wives sitting in the foyer? You know, because the elders had something came up, something they had to do. I thank God for those women who are the wives of our elders. And I appeal to you as a church to do everything you can to honor the wives of these men who are elders. I appeal to this church, especially to those men who are in the church, to become elders in the church. Do you know how anciently old the preacher is and how anciently old our elders are? Do you understand that the destiny of the church hangs in the balance of though not this generation of the elders, but of the next generation and those who will be elders there? And I appeal to you wives to encourage your husbands, stand beside your husband. I appeal to you young people to be the kind of young people that live a godly life so that your own father can qualify to be an elder in the church because you are a faithful child. I appeal to every one of us to do all that we can to encourage the church that the church may go on. And where will Palm Beach Lakes be 20 years from now? Where will it be 30 years from now? Where will it be 35 years from now? You and I need to understand, go back 30 years ago when this present eldership was appointed, many of them appointed to be elders. And you stood there at that time and you said, where will this church be 30 years from now? And to those who are younger men in the church, I beg of you to soberly step to the forefront and to look at the destiny of the church when no longer will those who are elders in this church still be at this place. But there will be another generation of elders to whom the torch has been passed. And we trust that that torch will shine even more brightly than the torch that has been passed by former elderships to this eldership. The torch that has been passed that they shine so brightly in this area. May God help us as we think about Palm Beach Lakes and the importance of the matter of eldership and the destiny of the church as it's tied to the eldership in this place. We now come to that part of our service where we sing this song of invitation. If you're not a child of God, you can become a child of God. The plan is as ancient as the creation of the world, to believe in Jesus, to repent of your sins, to confess your faith in Jesus, and to be baptized for the remission of your sins, that He might add you to that body by which all men bring glory to God. And then He says to those who are children of God, be faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life. How can we help you? Won't you let it be known by coming to the front right now as together we stand and sing. Will you come?